midnight.
Here.
Listener sponsored. Listener supported. Listener participation.
99.5 FM.
Gotcha.
Frequency modulation.
And on the web. At WBAI.org.
Reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Tom Sumner. Channel open for Executive Order AUC. 423.
Listen to this, boys.
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Things as pretty as she looks.
And now, live, the world's greatest guy.
Yeah.
conta que quando o sol de novo varia, eu já não pensei em perceber, eu começo a sonhar em poder te ver, te gerar, tocar. Quero ver, então eu juro que esse baiano vem nessa manhã de carnaval. O mundo é de nós dois, o telefone eu vou dizer, já fica pra depois. Só pra te dizer que teu curso está desligado. Então eu juro que esse baiano tem luz do sol, é prazer.
The feeling. You go down.
It's my favorite show.
Mondays, midnight.
Yeah. Yo. Yeah, my daughter's in the house there.
You can feel it.
Yeah, let me get some of that.
2001.
Let me get some.
Till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It's invisible.
Yeah. It's impossible. Radio.
You can feel it.
Radio frequency. It's amazing. Let's go.
It's mind blowing.
It's on
take
the air.
Pill, man. Take the pill. Limitless, man. Take the pill.
It's ectoplasmic.
Take the pill, man.
It's greasy.
Yeah. Let yourself go, man.
It's cerebral.
Night shift.
As you do things in your life, they change you or they affect you. What did you maybe learn about yourself in producing this film?
I think the biggest thing I learned about it is what a tragedy it is in terms of race, how we live our lives. Because, you know, I don't have any racial issues, I don't think, on any level. I know the minute you say that, you usually do. But the thing is I've never had the opportunity, and most white people don't, to really be able to spend a great deal of time with people that are completely and utterly different and yet the same. And it's just, it's absolutely been the most monumental time of my life. I mean, I feel it's changed me in every single way in terms of, you know, just the way I walk into a room with somebody, just how sensitive you have to be, because we have never become sensitive, you know. It's just a very, very strange and horrible kind of society that we have that still hasn't been able to break down. I mean, you look at what's going on with Obama now, and we're 2012. He's won it. Give him a break. Give him a shot. Give him a chance. Give him this. But we just still in ourselves can't do it, and partly it's because of the fear factor. We don't even know who he is. And, you know, and he's half white. I mean, that's what even makes it even more shocking. So for me, the biggest and greatest part of the experience has been, you know, being able to live with a whole bunch of people that just even felt, even though I always admired, like, have had fun with, it's always been superficial. But being in the trenches for this amount of time has changed me completely. Mm. And my family.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And my daughter was born in Prague 2 weeks into the movie. And other than my wife and I, the first people that ever handled her were the cast of Red Tails, and she has been around black people ever since. She's only 2 and a half now, but this whole project, and you can just see there's a difference for her little friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I certainly do. Yes, I do.
And the trouble is again, we don't as a society have a situation. We do have borders, you know. There we have districts that we live in and other people live in, and as much as we try, and still there's still a major issue in terms of how you communicate, because we come in, you know, my assistant's Filipino, and where we work is a very white county, and but she's very light skinned, very light brown. And when she goes into a store, people watch her.
I'm familiar with that, and
we don't have that. And we need to feel that. We need to understand that. And that's the most superficial level. Then you add all the other major that goes on in the country. So for me, that's been the best part of the whole experience.
It's my favorite show.
Night Shift in the house!
Night Shift. Night Shift.
Who is that yelling? Who is that? Keith? Is that you, Keith?
At all what you think you might want to do next or some of the kind of
absolutely.
Films you might...
Absolutely, yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. In fact, I mean, I'm at the end of the light of the tunnel, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm ready to, you know, hand over to all the people I work with and everything else, but I'm not ready to let go yet.
Sure.
And, to me, the most important now is how do you do socially responsible work that actually has an impact on everyone? Whether it's Black, Latino, Filipino, Asian, you know, we've got such a complex society. We have the most polyglot society in the world, and there is still so much misunderstanding, so much fear that has to be dealt with. So anything that I can do to tell other people's stories, because that's how you actually truly learn about everything. You know, there's a very famous thing about that Teddy Roosevelt said, Americans only learn about geography through war, you know. And one of the things I've realized is you can only really learn about other people when you're doing their stories or helping to be a part of their story.
That's a good
and
point.
Understanding what they've gone through. And you know, you'll meet some of the Tuskegee Airmen tomorrow night in Roscoe.
Sure.
If you met Roscoe,
yeah, I just came from interviewing him.
I mean, you know, you meet and you just say, "Oh my God, Jesus!"
I know.
And you first of all, in terms of the achievement, who he is, and everything else, and then you add this extra set of baggage that he's had to go through. I don't know of any. There's not many white people who've ever had to go through that. You know, and I think if they had any understanding of that,
and
if we're
able
to turn
it,
absolutely.
All right. Sounds like a winner.
Well, you shouldn't say former. Always.
Always. Okay.
Tune to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Roscoe Brown, a former Tuskegee Airman. Welcome to WBAI.
Well, you shouldn't say former. Always.
Always. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was mentioning to you prior to starting the recording that I had an uncle who was married to an aunt of mine, my mother's sister, who was married to her for many years, and she never knew till long after they were divorced that he was a Tuskegee Airman. He never mentioned it.
Well, a lot of us did not mention our work as Tuskegee Airmen because when you came out of the service, you were in the 20s and you were working on building your career. And at that time, we weren't the heroes we are now, even though we did some great things. And we went back to civilian life, went to school, got jobs, and did our lives. And because war is not necessarily a pleasant experience, you don't really talk about it very much. You may talk about it to your friends who were there, but to your children, your family, you don't talk about it. I did talk to my kids about being a pilot, and they knew about the plane, but they didn't know the details. Plus the fact that since the nation was segregated during World War II and before, that's a somewhat unpleasant experience for blacks generally. And basically what we were doing is fighting segregation at the same time we were fighting the enemy. What we, the black press, call the double victory campaign. Mm-hmm. Victory over the enemy, but victory over racism and segregation at home. And one of the things that George Lucas has done in conjunction with the movie is a documentary entitled Double Victory, which will air on the History Channel on the weekend of Martin Luther King's birthday. And it features interviews and actual film footage from that time as to what we went through and how we responded to it. And now that the country is desegregated legally and we've done a lot of things to move ahead, we can look back with some degree of pride on what we did to make it happen. But back in the day, right after World War II, we didn't talk about it very much.
That's an incredible story on any level, on any level. And the impact of the story is that, Mike, I understand their story because my son has met several of the Tuskegee Airmen because he's been learning how to fly, my 14-year-old son, you know, and he's going up in Cessnas and up in gliders. So he's almost certified to fly. And when he met the Tuskegee Airmen, it's very impressive. Heroes. Heroes that did incredible things.
Well, here comes the theme of the show, Byron.
Yes.
Who you heard in the beginning. Chris, are you there?
I'm right here. Here.
Were you into everything? Were you listening to everything? All right. Now, what you heard, the white man you heard talking in the beginning was Rick McCallum. Now, Rick McCallum is, I call him uber producer. He has produced everything George Lucas has done over the last 20 years. He produced all the young Indiana Jones, last three Star Wars films, and he produced this film too. And the experience of him being with, you know, George Lucas has gone out of his way. He has a black composer, Trevor Blanchett. He has two black screenwriters, John Ridley, and I forget the other writer's name, doing the screenplay. As a black director, someone who has kind of been part of Lucasfilm for many years, and he had brought in a black producer, and he has real Tuskegee Airmen as consultants. And so he's really gone out of his way, I felt, to make sure that this story is not only told, but told by people who it should matter the most to, and from their lens. So I say all that to say that, so Rick McCallum, who has done all these major films, produces this film and is with all these, you know, this whole black cast, because everybody in the cast is black. It's a completely black unit, and is lives with them for 3 months and then is dealing with them for the next 2.5 years, and his life has changed. And speaking with Dr. Brown, he talked about the experience and how it changed him. So it brings about the theme, Byron.
Yes. This show always has.
And Keith, special guest star. That was right, Chris.
Happy
that is Keith.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell Keith in there, Keith, even though I'm, you know, we'll never hook up because, you know, he blows my ass way off.
I know,
whatever.
That's just not true.
Whatever, brother. You know, I send messages, all kinds of stuff. You know, I've been to the Blue Note 6 times, but, you know, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know.
Well, that sounds like a personal issue.
We have to.
Two of you.
Yeah, well, God, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll leave a note or something.
Anyway, Byron, the theme. Okay.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to Byron. Do you want to know the theme?
What is the theme?
The theme is, Byron, I want to know from you, and I know you have one. I figured I'd ask you first. An experience in your life that completely changed your perspective. You think of a strong one,
which
Byron?
Decade?
Yeah, well, you know.
Where do we begin every day, Friday?
I'm talking about really changing your perspective.
You mean within the last 8 hours?
Doing this show every week changes my perspective.
Does it really?
No, seriously, because you'll say something.
You realize that life is like science fiction.
And I'll go home and I'll get to thinking about it, or I'm already home, but I get to thinking about it, you know.
Yeah, it's fine. Byron raises his finger.
I have several. I can give you the one.
Well,
that just
the strongest
80
one.
Seconds ago.
No, not the 80 seconds ago. Byron, don't tell us about things that just happened during the show. Okay? It's not as interesting for the listener as it is for you.
Well,
I want significant moments in your life. You can think about it. Take time. Keith?
Sure.
You can think about it. Like,
I do have several.
I have several, too. Yes. I do, but I'll pick one.
Byron
has a cavalcade of moments.
You mean like a monumental...
Just something an experience you went through that completely changed your perspective.
The birth of my first son.
On life. The world.
The birth of my
your
first
place
son.
In it.
I mean, it's instant for me.
Okay.
It goes to
profound. You've used that answer for other things I've asked you.
You're not allowed to use the same answer.
You're not allowed, Byron. Didn't you read the manual?
But the survey
you have to give me a different
number. People said this...
Byron, you cannot keep giving the same answer. He does these answers because the sons are listening. He's like, I love you. Hello. That's why he does this.
Friends
are
listening.
No, his sons. His sons are listening.
His
sons are listening back on Byron's planet. They live on Byron's planet. And I've been there once. I visited Byron's planet. I visited there with Kevin Scott. And they're all like Byron down in Byron's Planet. Down in Byronville. Byron.
Mike.
Keith.
Yeah.
Do you have the, and Chris. I know you
Happy
have
Happy New Year, Chris. Chris, did you like the new opening?
You like the new opening? Did you enjoy the new theme? Did you like the theme? I put the theme in there.
It was great. It was great, Mike.
Did you know that the theme that you just heard that before that I wrote that for the show? Did you know that?
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I auditioned.
Yes, you just your background.
I got first dibs.
Yes, I know you do, Byron. So if I'm stepping
Remember,
out,
I'll my actually, contract says I still get paid donuts, and it's still 2012.
It is.
So I'd rather bow tie.
Keith, you look. You've got that pensive look, like you're thinking. You're thinking.
No, yeah, I'm trying to think about what were those.
You know, even not the moment. It could be an experience. It could be a series of moments. It could be something you went through.
Right. Without saying, the birth of my child or something like that. I'm trying to come up with something that was. I want to categorize how I want to look at it because it's such a wide question.
All right. Well, let me narrow it down for you. An experience you went through, mm-hmm. that the experiences has forever informed your view on life. And your outlook on life.
Yeah, I think I just got a couple of things.
Okay.
So whenever you're ready.
All right, you want to hit me?
Want to hit you?
Yeah, hit me. No, fool. Tell me
I'd be glad
your
to.
Experience. Tell me your experience.
Anybody got a bottle?
Unless, Chris, you have one that's bursting to come out of you.
No, I don't. I'm actually trying.
And the phones are lit up, too. Everybody's wants their
It's so weird. I feel like I need to take that pill from Limitless because I'm completely blank at the moment. You know,
He's thinking about...
Nothing has changed his perspective. He felt the same way as a child as it is now.
This is one, and I guess because we were just talking about race and blacks and things like that, it made me think about this. I grew up in Staten Island, and I had friends of all. I happened to live in a neighborhood that all different kinds of people, so race wasn't a big deal in my mind. And we had one of my best friends, a Filipino kid, and a Jewish kid that lived next door was a good friend of mine. So we used to hang out together, do things. And one day, we decided to go to a certain part of town we normally didn't go to go fishing. And we walked down there. It was like a little fishing hole. It's that now, believe it or not, where kids would like catch, minnows or something. Not real fish, but
catch a minnow?
Right. Well, exaggerating. So I was sitting by the bank with my friends, and these three white kids come over. They're bigger kids, and they look at me and they said, "Hey, why don't you take a bath?" And I said, "What?" I didn't understand what they were talking about, and they were like, "Yeah, why don't you wash that black off?"
Oh,
and I was like, and I kept looking.
Old were you at the time?
I was about 7 or 8.
Okay.
And I kept looking at my two friends, like, "What are they talking about?"
And your two friends were black or white?
No, but both of them were not black. One was Filipino.
I got you. I got you.
So it was sort of like, and they seemed to understand the situation better than me, but I was completely, and I didn't until that night when I was laying in bed that I realized what they were talking about. It just didn't occur to me because I had never been approached in that way before so directly.
Yeah, I kind of have some moments like that.
And that changed my life forever then. I always felt a little bit different from everybody. I suddenly realized that. You know, I mean, of course I knew I was black, but somehow that incident made me look how other people see me, not how I see me.
I'm feeling like Star Trek V. Share and gather strength.
Now, Byron, let me ask you this, because not to dismiss your answer. So what about your perspective on life changed with the birth of your son? And was it just that moment, or was it everything leading up to knowing that you'd created life?
That whole incident was an amazing trek. It was beautiful, the entire experience, from the knowledge of all the way through to the birth. And afterwards, because of the birth and then first 12 hours afterwards, which are always critical, it's where everybody was out of any kind of stress zone. It ultimately became a very spiritual moment in which I realized and appreciated the life and birth process all at the same time. And so it was a very profound moment, and it was a beautiful moment
one that I will never forget. So it really is incorporated into who I am, what I have perceived with life and respect for it.
You gained greater respect for life.
Yes.
Seeing its process, its birth.
Yes.
The birth of life gave you a new respect for life.
Absolutely.
You know, that's quite profound, Byron.
And it's carried me through today because I enjoy each and every day where I can celebrate that moment. And it's coming up again, so with birthdays and celebrations, so... It's an enjoyable experience being a father and a parent.
Byron Saunders. Byron will be here all week.
Yes.
And you are tuned to Listen to Sponsored Radio. What's Byron? What's the phone number here, Byron?
212-209-2900.
I see people calling, and I'm wondering if they have something to share. Hello, you're on the
air. Good morning.
Mike.
This is George.
Tom here. Tom. Bronx.
Tom.
I like to say that what gave me another perspective was when the day I was on the $5 seaplane ride.
What year was this?
Oh, way back.
Like the Flintstones.
In the 1950s, there was one at City Island on the end of the island.
You had to run
and
with
we
your
took
feet
off.
Under the pterodactyl.
But we took off. And the pilot, I was sitting in the back, and the pilot was on, like, the left side, my father was on the right side, and I didn't want to sit in the front and look down, because the window. And as I looked out in the back, I saw another propeller headed our way, a plane that was about our size. We would have went into each other.
You would have collided.
We would have collided.
Like Airport 77.
And when I looked down... my father was looking down, the pilot was showing him the scenes, and I said, look at the plane. And his eyes were looking down.
The plane!
He said, Sonny,
what
plane? He said, Sonny, what plane? I said, the one that's coming. And we just, you know what it was.
Then my
just,
dad said, welcome.
You know what it was? It was just like
welcome,
one of those, it was just like one of those movies, you know, where the plane goes banks. And the other guy was pouring champagne to these two women he had in the cockpit there, and he was coming in from Boston.
Did you say cockpit or cockpit?
No, the dream cockpit.
You have?
Well, the front, you know, he was driving, he was flying. But anyway, you could read the bottle, the champagne bottle. My father was able to read the champagne bottle. What brand it was, and we just went out of the way, and he just kept coming. He never saw us at all.
All right, just so I'm clear, and what was the perspective change? And I was just trying to.
The perspective is that he enjoyed living after that. I said, "My God,
I understand.
We're alive."
I get
okay,
it.
I understand.
I understand.
We got down.
I get
landed.
It. I get it.
You were that,
Tom. I'm right. With you. Yeah. I get you.
Byron,
listen. I hope you got the mail I sent you.
I don't know. I'll check the mailbox. I didn't. I don't know yet.
Well, all right. Look at the mailbox there. You'll see something.
Byron, you get the mail. Okay.
Yeah. What did you send him?
Bring the gloves, Byron.
Bring the gloves.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom.
Yes.
Spiral book.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for
you'll
sharing.
You'll see the story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
You'll see the
Mike.
Story.
Good
you'll
morning.
Live the dream.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hey,
yo.
Who's this?
Good morning.
How y'all
doing,
buses?
All right. Well, are you enjoying the show, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Now,
who's
this, man?
What happens that my favorite time period did exist, and it was in New York City.
All right, first, you got to give yourself a name so I can...
Yeah, that's what happened.
I need to be able to cut you off whenever I need to. What's your name?
James.
Yes, James. That sounds like
you can call me John, huh?
Jonah. I like Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah was my original name.
Jonah is your original
also
name.
Also known as
my original
James.
Underground name.
Your underground name.
Yeah, underground
well, we
name.
Definitely want to call you by underground name.
You can bring some baby
yes.
Okay.
So, tell us, James.
You will forever be known
Jonah.
Now as Jonah James.
Jonah.
So, Jonah.
Tell us
Jonah
about
Jonah James.
Now, what happened that Mayor Lindsay. His day of being mayor of New York City.
I feel like being
was
mayor.
My
right
experience
now.
In introductory stage 1957 Manhattan.
Peter Sellers.
the band shell, all the performers used to play, Richie Havens, Phil Sanders, Night of Family Stone, everybody used to play at the band shell for free. Those were days. Right in Manhattan, right in Central Park.
I don't reminisce too much and get off point now. Stay with the story.
Okay, good. But anyhow, now, staying with the story is this. Bring it up to 2012.
Wait a minute. Are you telling us, are you just giving us context, or are you going to tell us about this moment that changed your perspective?
Okay, it changed my perspective big time. 1967 changed my perspective big time. Central Park, New York City. I was 14 years old.
All right, we're back in the band shell.
Yeah. actually, it was in Compton.
Yes.
Was Peter Sellers there?
Compton. But anyhow, what happened is that, bringing up the perspective is this. Like, to nowadays, quote unquote. Like, what happens that.
Okay.
I don't care.
Come on.
After a while, he should start speaking in another language.
Get to the point.
Does anybody know what's going on?
I know, it's taking so long for him just to get to what. The thing is that I'm going to say what I'm going to about to tell you, explain this.
Being there.
All right, no. Let's be patient. Jonna, so you're 14. It's summer.
Yeah,
it's 67.
You've been trapped in a house.
Marilyn's
your whole
in the office.
Your name is Chauncey Gardner.
Something's going to happen. Talk to me. Tell me what happened.
What happened or what I'm talking about?
You're in Luigi's.
Actually, it was in December. You know, this is the music.
Is this Diodato?
It's Diodato. The music from being there. No one's paying any attention to what I'm talking about.
From wood.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
You and some people. And
so Jonah, we're James.
All right. No.
We are.
Listen.
You got to give Byron a handshake. He was Diodato, man. He's great.
Well, sir?
Yes.
Okay. The moment. Did it happen?
The moment has come.
By fact, another moment happened to me and Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, my goodness.
Another moment.
Another moment. I don't think we can go through another moment. Yeah. Sir, you can call back after we take a few calls. But,
Jonah,
thank you for calling.
Yes.
We've enjoyed your trip.
Happy New Year, 2012, Jonah. Also known as James.
There it is.
You know, Mike? And now he changes the music.
I know, Mike.
You know, it's funny that you played the music from being there, because that is kind of talking about Keith's perspective of, you know, Chauncey Gardner when he leaves the house and he goes walking through the neighborhood and that whole moment right there.
Well, that's called producing.
Is that what you did? Is that what you were doing?
There's just the magic that happens here on that show.
You know, it's actually like, it's like, if people are out there listening and paying attention, they actually, there's a subtext happening here.
There's always a subtext.
Especially since I'm writing
in the background,
this show,
it says Byron is alive. Byron is alive.
Yes, I'm archiving this material.
Byron is alive.
Byron is alive.
Oh, Byron is archived. You have to write it all down?
Yes, of course. You know, I invite this longhand every week.
Byron, how did you know that was Diodato?
Is there a ball on the top of your hat?
You talking to me?
No, I thought I saw a ball.
Is there a ball on the top of my hat?
No,
or is there
on Byron's. I thought he had like a big
tassel. No, there's a pin on the top of my hat.
No tassel. Byron.
There's a point. There's a point on the top of Byron's head.
No.
Well.
Okay. Let's take a call, and then we do have some stories. I also have some interesting, just the headlines alone should tell you that life is like science fiction. We're in 2012, and
Yes. You know what?
Can I finish my sentence?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm
making
so
a
excited.
Sentence. Okay, I know. We're going to come back in. Anyway, it is 2012, and 2012, all year long, considering, Byron, we talked about this last week, that the Mayans believe that this is it. This is the last year.
Yeah.
So,
of course,
the fact that we're in 2012.
And it's 40 degrees. It's wonderful in January. It's just great.
Life is like science fiction, Byron.
Yeah.
The culture is aware of a prediction of cataclysm and the end of life as we know it. The culture, the world culture is aware. Humans are aware of this myth.
Yes.
Life is like science fiction, Byron. It's just like a setup for a whole science fiction movie. Anyway, so keep that in mind, Byron.
It all depends on which version is done.
Well, it depends on the director, right? Life is like a science fiction movie, but it depends on the director. Right. I'm with you. Anyway, I was just going to have Keith and Byron read a couple of the headlines.
Oh, okay. You had a headline. I got excited because
I was going to read a headline.
The trending thing was like Christy McNichol like came out today or something.
Well, yes, I heard.
You heard that, Byron, right? Yes, Mike didn't hear about that.
No, I did not.
No, I didn't hear about it. What's up?
Christy McNichol has come out.
Are you kidding me?
Like that's news.
Like
right, exactly.
I've known this for like
George Takei came out again.
I thought that came out like 10 years ago.
No, anyway,
exactly. Like George Takei when he came out.
Well, he came out again. Like, that's news. It's in the news. All right. So Byron, you have a couple headlines there. Keith, you have a couple headlines.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just, go ahead, Byron. Just give me the headlines.
Oh well. Okay. Woman charged with severing husband's penis.
Okay.
Let's not
again?
Talk about that. Just, I hate those stories.
I'll just read that as a headline.
I hate those stories.
We'll move on.
He loves those stories.
Okay, no, here's Life is Like Science Fiction. Let's come back to reality. Train passenger arrested for a 16-hour loud cell phone conversation.
16 hours. I want to know what kind of battery.
He should have been arrested.
What kind of phone was that? That should be an ad.
He should have been arrested for that long.
You can talk so long, you'll get arrested. You know, that'll be in the ad. Keith, you had a couple headlines there.
A woman called emergency services to report theft of snowman.
There you go.
Yes.
That's awesome. I want to hear about that.
Please.
I can relate to that. Because you know what? I see that happen all the time. People stealing snowmen.
Do you?
Steal them all the time.
They roll them right off the lawn.
Snowmen?
Somebody comes and there's a snowman.
They steal the carrot nose and everything. Heavy metal music saves Norwegian boy from wolves.
Okay.
There they go.
The heavy metal music saves Norwegian boy from wolves. Byron, you have another one there?
Ooh,
yeah.
There you go.
Ohio man dies after sitting in chair for 2 years.
No, I don't want to hear about that.
No, I don't think I want
to hear
about
that. He got stuck to the chair.
Like a long story.
Yeah. Wow.
He grew into the chair.
Oh, that had to be nasty.
Stop.
Breast milk ice cream confiscated over safety concerns.
Yeah, no, that was... See, they're hot.
The breast milk stories just keep coming back, don't they?
These are some of the best of last year. That's what these are. These are hits, yeah.
3 years ago.
No, this is all last year. It seemed like 3 years ago. These are some of the best stuff. They're just reading.
See that, Byron?
I have the electric mole rat acid test.
Second verse, same as the first.
Robbery suspect flees on riding mower. Is that from last year?
That's not last year. That's
he's still coming. Mike, that's why.
You know, how about Tebow? Tebow. I know you don't pay attention.
Hello, you're in the air.
But
Tebow
went and took a call, and I'm talking.
No, the call is already there. He's been waiting. He's been patient. All right, we'll finish what you're saying, Chris. I didn't mean to.
That Tim Tebow wrote John 3:16 under his eyes, and he played in the Bronco game yesterday, and he.
Wrote
pass,
drawn
you know, like
316.
Passing, 316 yards.
Yes, he did.
Most of his passes were like 31.6 yards.
I know. He threw an 80-yard touchdown pass
in the
overtime.
And 31.6 million people were watching. I'm just telling you, it's really crazy.
It's the end of times.
Really bizarre.
It's 2012. Thing. All year long, it'll be like this.
It'll be like this all year. This is your prediction?
This is my prediction.
Keep your eyes open. There are amazing things on the way.
Wow.
Life will be like science fiction all year long. Life is like science fiction.
You heard it here.
The year of Night Shift.
On Night Shift.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. It will, if they start this.
Oh, come on now. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, hombre, where are the mojitas tonight?
Mojitos?
Hello, you're on the air.
He wants to take us off of mojitos.
Mayan time, was it? We were talking Catholic time. Hold up. This is a little confusing here with this Mayan calendar thing you keep bringing up.
No, you can Google it.
Because how does Catholic time, the current time we live in, deal with Mayan time? I mean, what happened to Hammer time?
The Hammer time.
I'm with that. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
You set us up real good with that one.
Very good.
One funny man. Every time.
Hello.
About 20 years late with the Hammer reference.
Hello.
Otherwise, very good.
It was very good.
Hello.
Yeah.
yes.
Where are you calling from? You're calling from space.
From his ship. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Calling from California.
I understand.
Oh, all right.
They don't have. Are you near the satellite?
Listen to your show on the internet. I think one of my two favorite WBAI shows.
Oh wow! All right. And how long have you been listening?
I've been listening to your show for a year or two, maybe.
Wow, a year or two. And you've been listening for a year or two. Have you started seeing things now?
I haven't been seeing things for quite a while now, actually. The thing I called about, you were talking about the 2012 thing. The Mayan calendar did cycle on that date, the solstice of 2012. But they just started a new year. It's like when you get to December 31st,
right.
You flip the page, you start a new year.
Well, it goes a little deeper than that. It goes a little deeper than that.
They didn't believe the world was going to end. And it was so far in advance, they didn't bother writing out the new calendar because they figured we'll have plenty of time between now and then. But
is that what happened? Where are you calling from, the mountain?
They figured we'll make calendars up to this point, then we'll let everybody go, then we'll rehire everybody somewhere later on in civilization. I'm with you. But you know what?
The person that popularized the whole 2012 thing was a guy named Terrence McKenna. I know you're familiar with
all of the prophets and the crackpots. Yeah. But here's my question to you, sir.
I knew Terrence, and he did not think the world was going to end in December 2012. He thought it was going to be some sort of transcendent event, like an entering a new dimension of consciousness or something.
Yes.
He frankly didn't know what it was. And he was a pretty imaginative guy. He admitted he couldn't even imagine what it was, but it was going to be something...
All right, well, sir, I know, but we've heard that it's strange. You got to understand, this is Night Shift. But here's my question to you.
Yeah.
And what's your name now?
Yeah. I'm Professor Cusinart.
Professor Cusinart?
Cusinart, you ever use one of those?
What'd you say, Professor Cusinart? I cut things. No, what's...
Professor Cusinart, I'll use that
All right, Professor Cusinart. My question to you is, do you have a moment from me? From your very finely chopped life, that changed your. Do you have anything that you've gone through in your life that completely changed your perspective on life, and you've carried it with you ever since?
I was thinking about that, and I couldn't really come up with any one event. I mean,
How old are you?
Through the last 2 years, has sort of changed my worldview. I guess the closest thing I can think of is when I had a lung embolism and I almost died.
Wow!
And I kind of appreciated life a lot. I mean, even after that, even the kind of sucky parts of life, I kind of said, "Yeah, well, this sucks, but it's better than dying."
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can come up with.
That's a pretty good one.
You know,
I'll take that.
I've had moments of enlightenment and stuff like that. I've had moments where I realized the most important thing is to love everybody and to be a good person and all that stuff.
All right, Professor. I'm glad that you called in, and I'm glad you. I have one last question for you, Professor.
Professor Cuisinart,
why do you listen to this show?
Yeah, he doesn't have an answer.
Professor,
he left.
I guess I cut him to the quick. All right, hello, you're on the air.
He listens to this show and he leaves.
Yep.
Good morning.
Of course,
overwhelmed.
We know why he listens. Yeah. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
I need an outlet for my stupidity. You all are stupid. I feel like a stupid in there. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes.
Happy hour time.
Happy hour.
Good.
George, you going to add something new? Because I want to get some new perspectives here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, hey, I'm hung, hey, hey.
Hello, you're on the air.
That was the only
exactly
different version you could come up with.
You know the Mexican phrase for yeah. Stupido.
The no, hello,
hello, hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning.
Hello.
212.
It's Mr. Delay.
209.
He just calls up and plays you back to yourself.
Whoa.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
Byron, please give out the phone number.
212. Like
call now, call now and block the freaks. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Well,
okay, well, we got
212-209-2900.
They were scared.
If you'd like to.
So, Byron, can you read a story to me?
Which one?
Give me one of the full.
You know, I just had someone that something. And just speaking about, I just someone popped into my head that just happened to me.
Something that just happened to you?
Yeah, yesterday because I was.
You had a life perspective change yesterday.
Oh, I was out buying some stuff, and I was out at this show thing, and this was like a bad day yesterday for me, you know, and I was.
I was out buying this stuff and is at a show thing. Could you be a little more vague?
Well, I was out. You know, I go out buying stuff, you know, antiques and all that stuff. And, you know, I was out at one of these shows and I was buying, looking at stuff. And I was visiting with some friends. And I'm sitting there and I was just kind of bumming out. I wasn't able to find stuff. It just wasn't feeling like a good day for me yesterday, you know. And they were like, what's the matter with you? And I was like, you know, it's like, well, just get it together, man. You know, and it's like, and then somebody came to my friend's booth, and the guy was in a wheelchair with no legs, and he was like a really cool dude. It just gave me perspective, and I was just thanking the moment that wasn't me, you know. I just had a moment where I'm thinking how, like,
you realize you had nothing to be feeling.
I have nothing to be exactly. I have absolutely no right in my head to have a bad day. Who am I to have a bad day? Exactly.
I understand.
And I should be thankful, you know, for my ability to be able to walk and appreciate that, and to be healthy, or you know, along those lines. And just something that just popped into my head that just happened. Because I actually had a moment. I actually took a moment and got my head out of my ass, so to speak. And brightened up my day, and it's sad that it took something like that, but just again, you know, something I just along the lines of what you're saying. So there, I just had a moment sort of just pop in my head. Anyway,
hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Professor Cuisinart again. I didn't hear your final question, so I wanted to answer it.
Byron, what was it
about why I listen to your show?
Yes, why do you listen to the show?
So many reasons. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's almost the only program on radio that deals with science fiction. I hear so many stories on there that I don't hear anywhere else. Like the boy in Scandinavia that scared the wolves off with his heavy metal music.
Exactly.
Great story. I would have never heard that if I hadn't listened to your show. You have a worldview that is so much like mine. It's postmodern. You're kind of probing in the dark and trying to figure out what's going on. And I think it's just a really cool show.
All right, probing in the dark, trying to figure out what's going on.
I love. Like, I mean, jazz, science fiction, humor, black culture. It's just hella cool.
All right. Well, we'll take that for an answer. Well, Dr. Cuisinart, we are glad that you called.
Professor. Yes.
Professor, I'm sorry. Professor? I called him Doc. Sorry, I didn't mean to call him Doc.
I'm Cuisinart because of the way my phone sounds, right?
That's
sounds
good.
Like I'm talking through a Cuisinart.
Or the Distortion King 2000.
No, it just sounds like you're up on the mountain, like Mount Shasta, you know, smoking the
dude. He's out on Mount Shasta.
I wish.
Yeah.
But we have
I got like the suckiest cell phone.
You know, it's
about that,
a night shift, and you're duping it up, and you're digging the vibe, man.
Duping it up, Chris.
I wish, man.
I see how you're
I love your show.
All right. All right,
okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
He's calling. Hello.
Are you calling from Shasta?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
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 Night show.
Yes.
Yes, this is Leroy.
Hey, Leroy.
Yeah, I called before.
my second time calling.
Well, thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yes, it's good to have
now,
you back.
Now, Leroy, do you have something you want to share? Do you have a moment of perspective change that you want to share
moment.
With us?
Yeah, I have a
something you went
moment.
Through.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about it, though.
Okay. You're not quite sure what your perspective was that changed, or you're not sure how you feel about revealing it?
Leroy, you just happen to be lucky we do free analysis right now, so come on. What you got?
Okay. Well, this is what I have. In the early 80s, early to mid 80s, I was overseas, and I was doing a little bit of business speculating, and there happened to be a military coup d'etat that came about, and it was in a West African country. And there were a lot of things that I saw that weren't very pleasant. And I ended up taking the last Swiss air flight out of the country back into JFK. And I'm a product of New York City and the Deep South during the 50s and the 60s. Now, when I got to JFK, it was this very white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed person at customs. And with a broad smile, he said to me, "Welcome back home," with a deep southern drawl. And for some reason, that came to my mind as...
You realized what it meant to be home.
Yeah, and it kind of made me think that relationships are really about individuals and how you relate to people in small groups or one-on-one. Because I had never thought that I'd be greeted by a very white man from the Deep South, feeling so close to him and him telling me, "Welcome back home."
That's a nice feeling.
That is nice. That's,
you know
that's,
something,
that's
Leroy?
Nice that you're painting.
Here's my theory on life.
Wait, hold on. Let me turn down the music.
There's no place like home.
Byron's theory on life.
Yeah, Leroy, man, welcome home to Night Shift, man. Yeah, you're always welcome here, man.
Well, thank you.
You're part of our community.
Well, thank you. And how long have you been listening to the show?
Listening to you guys off and on, I just decided to call in for the second time because I realized how interesting you are.
We fake it, man. We're not that interesting. We're boring people.
Byron's interesting, but the rest of us.
Keith's interesting. Mike and I are boring.
Keith used to be interesting.
It's like science
not
fiction.
Anymore.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air.
Welcome to
Nation. Man, I'm just teasing. Thank you. Hey,
yo, hey, yo. 212-209-2900.
He can't even keep it to himself. Hey, yo, hey,
yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. That's a lot of work, because he's got to, like, hold.
Exactly.
And then wait, and then you turn it on. He's got to do it immediately.
Yes, he's got to be prepared.
He's got to have
energy.
Energy.
He's the kind of guy that was always practicing at, you know, when we were growing up in grammar school, you know.
He was. Right. He first started his.
You know, he wanted
fake,
to go to like
fake Indian.
He wanted to go to high school of performing arts. You know, he got up there and he said, "What do you do,
what
kid?
Do De Niro?
I do the like, Indian.
You talking to me? Hey, you talking to?
Hey, everybody's got their job. Everybody's got this thing they're good at. His thing is doing a very bad, an offensive Indian."
No, but that's only recently. He used to just get on and say he was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Is that same guy?
It's the same person. It's the same guy. He's got a little bit of a repertoire, but not a huge one. Anyway, you're tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio, WBAI. Nice.
I think we're seeing this slow...
It's fine.
Insane spiral.
It's slow descent. Into
pretty soon it'll just be like coughing or something. Like, shit. Ready to scream. Fine.
Night shift. Hanging out. We'll be right back.
pocket and pull out some money. Because our pledging tonight
Saunders.
Mike Sargent.
Byron Saunders.
Okay, so.
All right, so by the way, I just want you to know, Chris, yes, I did. I went far and wide. I've been scouring, putting together. I'm about two sets ahead.
Yeah, it's just, and the music is just so great tonight.
Everybody. Oh, I have stuff that I've gotten together from, because I do the other show, too.
You know, there's one of the thoughts that I had as we're progressing through the evening that, you know, seeing a really good film can change your perspective on whatever, you know what I mean?
Is there a film that changed your perspective?
Can change your perspective, like, you know,
like what?
You can,
Enemy Mine?
No, just give you an idea, you know, you can see some kind of, you can get something from whatever that is, you know, Save the Whales from you know, Voyager.
Is that what happened? Did you start giving to the whale thing?
Well, I didn't, but I'm using that as an example.
Well, I'm just saying that
I
wonder
how your life has changed from a film. Don't bring up an example about how you could be. I want to know something that happened. Facts.
Okay, we just saw Limitless, and wouldn't it be great if, you know, there was a pill that we could take?
Let's do my Darren McGavin. Vincenzo!
You would want to take the red pill?
Did you just say Darren McGavin?
Darren McGavin, the car Kolchak. It's news,
you know,
Vincenzo.
You know, why do you bring that up? Because that was the character. My friend was Tom Snyder, you know, from The Tomorrow Show, and I was Darren McGavin.
You were Darren McGavin.
212.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course you were.
You too.
Of course you were. We were 12 years old.
You
were.
Be a part of Night Show.
You made your own talk show. Darren McGavin and Dick Cavett.
Give us a call.
It was like King of Comedy.
Snyder.
212-209-2900.
You put foil on the walls.
Cardboard cutouts.
That's foil on the walls.
I was Darren McGavin.
Your mother's yelling down at you. Yes! What are you doing down there?
He had a hat and everything. Anyway, hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. All right. Byron,
yes,
did you read a story? Did you get to read a story?
No,
I can't even remember if you did or not.
Okay, that's...
So read me a story.
There's a thigh...
Thigh. The Freudian slip.
Thai girl sets world's hairiest child record.
Okay.
This is true.
No, it's like a Harry Nevis.
Yes, a Harry Nevis. And you remember. Remember.
That's why I gave the story to you. You are the Harry Nevis expert. Oh. He's the Harry Nevis. Show Keith the photo.
Yes, you have to look at this photo.
We should be on streaming. We should be streaming.
Wow.
Soon. Yes, that's
yeah,
so, even when I
Harry
read
Nevis.
So nasty.
No, this is a Guinness World Record.
Say that for the poor little girl. Go ahead.
He looks like Eddie Monster.
With a rare genetic condition that causes her to have thick hair over most of her body, has set a new Guinness World Record as the hairiest child.
Cousin It.
Listen, the last line of the story
I just can't believe she's smiling. Like, how did they
born with hypertrichosis,
I'm used to it now.
Which causes excessive hairiness and is sometimes referred to as werewolf syndrome.
Yes.
The 11-year-old girl's father contacted Guinness World Records staff, requesting that they consider her for the
title. How long did they have to wrestle with that one?
Child. Now, the Guinness World Record judge
didn't win. No.
Evaluated Susan's body hair somewhere using the Ferryman Galloway method. Excuse me. They used the Ferryman Galloway measuring method which consists of measuring
World's runner-up.
The amount
of third worst
on 9 different parts of the body. Her upper lip, chest, back, abdomen, arm, forearm, thigh, and lower leg.
Poor baby.
Wow. You know, excuse me.
That's intense. Now, the last line is the best line.
Yes.
What's the last line?
Wait for the last line, Bart.
They got a quote from her.
There is?
Oh, boy. Barnes quick with the drawer there.
Let me see. What's the last line? Let me see that.
The last line I just read.
What was it?
Yeah. Abdomen, arm, forearm, thigh, and lower leg. There was hair all over those areas.
Give she had the upper story, lip, Mike.
The chin, chest, back, abdomen, arm, forearm, thigh, and the lower leg. She was basically just one hairy individual. And that's the last line.
She was basically just one hairy individual. It is. Oh, no. It's in small type. There. The last part is in small type. Really small type. Can you see that?
You have a magnifying glass?
I do. I have a magnifying glass here if you need.
Okay.
You see it? Can you? It's a test part.
Being
How
hairy.
Old are you?
She says, being hairy makes me special.
There you go.
This is the happiest day of my life.
She's going to get a spoke. Listen, if you're going to be hairy, you want to be the world's hairiest.
Yeah.
To me, that I look at it that way, too. It's like, yes.
She looks like a shaggy doll.
She does.
You know, that brings up a question. So, looks like so how do you feel about that, Mike? Do you feel that women should shave their armpits or not?
This woman shouldn't shave.
You know, I think that...
I never
given any thought.
A personal choice,
but
Chris,
I think it's a personal choice.
You
know, as long as
you don't have a problem with it.
As long as a woman has good...
You prefer excessively hairy women?
As long as personal hygiene is kept up, what?
Byron? Gentlemen, look at this picture.
I know.
If this woman shaved,
she did not shave.
She would have the worst 5 o'clock
what
shadow.
What about you, Byron? Did they shave or not shave?
I don't know why, Chris.
I have to say that
a lot of testosterone.
I would suggest that she not shave. Because it's really a full... It's like a lion's
mane. It's a project. Like, to maintain that would take, like... A grant.
So, Chris, are you down with the hair under the arms?
Yeah, I think that's good. I'm down with that. You know,
what if it's braided?
Braided. No, if society decides that.
And with earrings and stuff.
Enough hair to do several. I know. Several.
Keith, you have
hairstyles.
A story. Just, hello, you're on the air.
I like the hippie girl. Okay?
I know you do, Chris, come back from wherever you are. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
Try to be focused about what I wanted to say.
Yes.
Keep my heart. This.
Okay.
Phil Sanders, where was his music? Chambers Brothers, where was their music? We'll hear their music when they die. Until they die, we will not hear their music. And this is our brothers and sisters. We have to hear some of their music sometime on our station. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Did he say thank you? At the end, he goes, thank you. Aye.
No, he said goodbye.
No, he said aye.
What's his name?
Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you. Aye. What's that?
Hello. Yes, good morning.
Who is this?
Hello, I'm calling about a funny story.
You have a funny story?
Oh, yeah, funny story.
What's
lightning, your name, sir?
Is it a lightning story, though?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty lightning.
I want to know. No.
What's your name, sir?
Oh, this is Leroy calling again.
Leroy again.
We need new people.
Okay, Leroy.
I got cut off, so I thought I'd call you back with
that's
a funny
right. Mike
story.
Cuts everybody off.
A 36-year-old in Denver, a 36-year-old woman was charged Wednesday after punching, scratching, and sliding her buttocks against a painting worth more than $30 million, authorities in Colorado said. Carmen Tisch is accused of pulling her pants down to rub up against the work.
Are you reading this from the...
Is this the Mona Lisa?
No, it's...
Yeah, she...
Van Gogh?
This is at a museum where this individual
punched it again.
And but she had some issues. She had some issues.
Used it as toilet paper.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Maybe she's a, I bet she's a performance artist. You know what I'm saying?
Could be.
That's my take. She's
there
a performance artist, and she's making a statement.
She's into nasty art.
That's right. It'll be in her resume.
She's into nasty art.
Women defecates on art. You know, that was me. Byron.
Yes, Byron.
Aren't you warm with that scarf on, Byron?
Is Byron wearing a scarf and a hat?
Yeah, he's going for this whole Himalayan thing. He's got the, he looks like the Himalayan. You know those ancient masters? They're dressed the same in all weather. You're like, huh? It's like they're internally cool and they're internally heated. How do they do it?
What do you call those people? TV?
Byron.
Mike Sargent.
Tibetan master. Byron Saunders.
I've been to the mountains.
Tibetan master.
What do you call those people that help you up the mountain?
Good people.
Sherpas?
Friends.
Oh, you mean like a Batman?
Yeah.
What do you call those people who help you up the mountain, Byron?
Yeah, Byron's
friends.
A Sherpa.
That's a good, that could be a t-shirt, right?
You can carry Mike's bag now.
Chris.
You be Mike's Sherpa.
What are you drinking over there, Chris?
Who, me? I ain't drinking nothing.
Anybody who says who, me is guilty. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Exotic like, birds. Hello, you're on the air. What's your phone number, Byron?
212-209-2900. Pick up the phone. You want to get on board? We're out there in the neighborhood.
He's working on a different tribe.
212-209-2900.
Seven people listening and one's in California.
What's the phone number, Byron?
212-209-2900.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you remember that cover of that Patti Smith album, Easter? Well, she has her arms up and she's got
What about
her? Yeah, he said like that. That was all right.
I like that. There it is.
Well, you know, it's funny. Patti Smith, you like that album? Come on, Chris. Patti Smith.
You know,
Chris, you and Keith need to hang out.
I was trying to hang out with Keith. I go up there every time I go
again.
Mike,
didn't we start the show off like this?
Yeah. Seriously though, I'm gonna give you my direct number and we'll work it out.
Yeah, man. Keep my boy, man. I was all excited to see you, man.
If I would have known you were down there, I would have come down there.
Listen to old shows with Byron.
Yes, Mike Sargent.
Byron Sargent.
Elizabeth Moss is funny, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You weren't there that night.
Scientologist.
Yeah, they're all Scientologists. The whole... You got that whole thing going on.
So, I have more of my interview with the Tuskegee Airmen, which I know you would like to hear.
Yeah,
but I will throw one of my stories in the ring. Okay,
you have a story.
I have a number of stories that are life perspective changing, and this one happened to me in high school. And I wasn't even going to tell the story, but I remember it because of Keith's story. And I was in high school, and I remember at the time, I was probably like ninth grade, maybe
ninth grade. You had Harry
ninth, Arnold? Tenth grade. And shut up. And there was a girl. I guess I shouldn't use names to protect
the
innocent.
What the hell?
But there was this girl, this cute girl, and we'd become friends. And she was white. And there was another guy, kind of a fat guy, fat German guy. Let's just call him.
He had
a German name too. I won't even give. You know, let's call him
Adolf
Klaus. Let's call him Klaus. And Klaus. You know, I went to an art high school, so like you have rotating art classes. So you have different people, they can different, you know, you get to choose whether you want sculpture or this or blah, blah, blah. So you have different people in different classes. You don't have the same people all the way through.
Right.
And, this girl, you know, we'd been friends, blah, blah, blah. And we talked and, you know. And at one point, there was a friend of mine who was sort of the class clown, the butt of many jokes, and enjoyed it being that, you know, kind of kid who would sit in the back of the class, be quiet, then all of a sudden make like machine gun sounds and fall on the floor. Okay. And, you know, he was that kind of guy. And he had made it known he liked this girl, you know. And to make a long story short, we're all in clay class, molding our clay. And the girl is standing next to me. Klaus is in front of me. We're on the side of the bench here, and we're talking. And he's saying, you know, oh, would you date, you know, so-and-so, this kid who, like, obviously was the butt of all jokes.
Right.
And would you date so-and-so? And she's like, no, I wouldn't even date so-and-so if he wasn't so-and-so. I wouldn't date no black guys. And I was like, huh. And I'm molding my clay. And she goes on to say, and I think kissing black guys is disgusting.
Wow, my.
Whoa.
Oh,
and my. I'm molding my clay. And Klaus chimes in, yeah, with their mambo lips.
Ooh, whoa. Stop me.
And then she realizes I'm standing next to her. And she goes, you know, I don't have nothing against...
I got no problem with you.
Exactly.
That. I got some, no problem with you, but other black people.
Some version of, like, you know,
despite your mom,
whatever. And I just remember,
know,
it was coupled with, because Klaus was friends with this guy, and he was just being so, you know, clearly making fun of him, and you know, along with all the other things, he was saying things, bad things about him. But I was just struck by. I had never really experienced racism like that. I had had other incidents and things like Keith said that I didn't quite understand, but this was the most direct and in my face. And I was in like ninth grade. And
this was a very integrated school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. This is High School of Art and Design.
Yeah.
So you'd be carrying that with you, carrying your face.
You know, it was interesting.
People gain power by sharing.
You gain power by sharing. Byron.
Mike Sargent.
What's the phone number here?
212-209-2900. Yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We're out there tonight. It's good to be in 2012. I'm feeling some good vibes.
Are you feeling good?
I'm
feeling 2012 really, vibes?
Yes, Mike. So, it's like powerful stuff now.
Powerful. This is it.
Yes.
Do you think this is the last year? Do you believe in the Mayans?
Yes and no.
You do yes and no.
Yeah. Because ultimately, only the Father in heaven knows when the last days are. However,
only the Father in heaven knows
the signs we
or
have,
the signs we must pay
attention to.
What are the signs, Byron?
The signs of change.
Tell us, Byron.
The signs
Tell
that
us.
Are happening.
Oh, Byron.
The one things that are becoming Richter scale recognition types.
Richter scale recognition types. That's RRRT.
Wow.
Things that, there will be many things that you will experience between now and the date.
You say that like
we're about
a prophet,
to
Byron.
Yeah, we are about to transition into another age of
about to, or are we already transitioned?
Oh, we are.
Or in the process.
I think we're going to transition to another dimension.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is what we're going to do.
You think what'll happen is we will all move and become?
You know, I told you my theory a year ago.
What was your theory a year ago?
That all the stupid people would disappear.
Now, that was your theory for 2000. 2012. That was your theory for 2000, Byron. I've known you a long time.
About a year ago.
That was your theory. Because everybody thought the world was going to end into the year 2002. Remember all the 2K? Like, oh, computers were not ready. The world will crash. Oh, my God.
Yes, Chris.
Byron. Apocalypse.
They actually did get messed up, didn't they?
No, they nothing got happened.
People would disappear.
Nothing. Yeah, people would disappear. That's what my... See, Chris remembers your prophecy.
No.
You can't be. You're like that guy on TV who said, "We're dying this year." No, wait. No,
you were there,
year.
Chris.
How
you were there,
dare
Chris.
You?
You were there, Chris.
Who do you
Byron,
think you are?
He recycles there, his Chris. Answers. He recycles his prophecies.
What does he think
Byron
he is?
Is
I am consistent.
How dare you, Byron? Like
Byron,
judge of
I need to look at your contract.
Recycling is a good thing.
Recycling.
How dare you, Byron? Acting like you know.
I am the keeper of the archives. I can do that.
It's been over 10 years. I can use it again.
Yes.
You know, being stupid is relative, depending upon how much you know.
But they are. All the stupid people are going to disappear.
Oh, again. Yeah, that's a T-shirt. All right.
All the stupid people are going
to
disappear.
Now, has this ever happened to you? Now, this I have to say. This story actually...
See, everybody's thinking the world's going to end, but my prediction is that that's what's going to happen.
The world's going to begin.
The world's
right.
going to begin.
This, we're all, you know, amoebas.
Yes.
All right, I'm with that, Mark. Okay, can I tell you a story?
Sure.
All right, have you ever had this
whatever
happen?
Whatever you want to do.
Thank you. Chris, thank you.
You act like you thank don't you. Think you don't know what you're doing.
I do know what I'm doing.
Help me out if you need any help, Mike.
You act like it. You don't know what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Have you ever had this happen? All right, here's a story. Why do I think my phone is vibrating when it's not? Have you ever had that feeling?
Yes.
Phantom, you've had it? Have you ever had it, Keith, where you think your phone is vibrating?
Yeah. Okay, dude, my leg will like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So do you ever feel your phone vibrating in your pocket or purse, only to retrieve it and met by an eerie black screen lifelessness? Like most people, you occasionally experience these phantom vibrations. It turns out it's because you're a little bit nuts. Or scientifically speaking, you're having sensory hallucinations. So, says Michael Rothberg, researcher at Bay State Medical in Springfield, Mass., who last year studied the strange phenomenon among the doctors and other medical staff at Bay State. He discovered that over 70% of those polled had experienced a phantom vibration in the past, and some of them were spooked by ghost cell phone rings daily. As Rothberg recently explained on Science Line, these hallucinations are essentially errors in perception. Casualties of the brain's struggle to make sense of the constant barrage of data flooding in from the outside world. You get a tremendous amount of sensory information that's coming in from your eyes, your ears, your skin. You can't deal with all that information all the time. He said, so as you get these different types of sensory inputs coming in, your brain is trying to filter them and make sense of them. It makes sense of them in terms of what it's used to looking for. So for people who are getting messages all the time, I like that line. So for people who are getting messages all the time, those messages are positive, or they're excited to get those messages.
That's Mike.
That's something right there. Or they're important, or they're worried about missing those messages.
Yeah.
They're constantly searching for something that
that's
might...
That's you.
Wait, listen to the line. They're constantly searching for something that might seem like a message coming in.
You know, it's really interesting.
Wait, it is interesting.
All these cultural things that have come out of our cell
phones. Please. While hunting and gathering in prehistoric times, we would have been on the lookout for snakes, and we're probably constantly getting spooked by curvy sticks. Today, most of us are technocentric, so our brains misinterpret everything from the rustle of clothing to the growling of a stomach, jumping to the false conclusion that we're getting a call. There's no need to get freaked out by the fact, and roughly 70% of the people around you hallucinate on a regular basis. Hallucinations sound like mental illness, and this is not mental illness. It's a normal thing that pretty much everybody experiences.
It is.
Excuse me. I'll be back in a minute.
Life is like
I'm
science fiction.
A
we're having it now. I hear phantom messages.
I'm having a moment.
I'm waiting for a message
with
to
you
come
in a moment.
But no, but it is, I think the whole thing's fascinating. What do you think, Keith?
No, I think it's really interesting because this technology has created a whole other psychological dimension that we all deal with.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes.
Are we off air?
No, we're on air. Thank God.
We're on the air.
Break up the testosterone.
Okay, let me turn the radio down.
Okay. What's your name?
Rebecca.
Thank you.
All right, so Rebecca, do you have a story you want to share?
I'm not real crazy, but I admit to having rambling speech.
Okay, what about sensory hallucinations?
Yeah. A few years ago, I agreed to try Zoloft because Dr. Poocher wanted to get my rambling speech.
Dr. Poocher.
She wasn't too concerned about my depressive state, but the Zoloft made me hallucinate, a tactile hallucination. It felt like things were crawling on my ankles.
Tactile?
Yet I knew there was nothing there. But I felt it. So it was making the nerves fire.
Well, those are sensory hallucinations. Those are sensory hallucinations.
But it was brought on by Zoloft.
I got you.
A psychiatric drug.
All right. It's
supposed to get rid of some symptoms. It caused new symptoms.
Okay, but tell us about the perspective change.
Perspective change? No, I must have missed that part of your conversation.
Oh, well,
what do you mean by perspective?
Okay, the theme of the show is...
Oh, I just turned it on about 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Oh. Here's the theme of the show. The theme of the show is we're having people share things they went through in their life or moments in their life that changed their perspective on life forevermore.
Forever.
So you're right on target. You just needed to know what the target you were on.
Huh? You're losing
don't,
me.
Don't listen
well,
to
what made you decide
pay attention to the man in the house.
What was the life-changing situation that made you go to Zoloft? What was the life-changing situation?
Oh, I've been depressive my whole life.
Yeah.
I recently read the newer theory they're working on for the last 10 years. It's gaining popularity of fetal environment, that things that happen to the mother while the child is in the womb can affect all sorts of health issues.
And then they can correct that by they have these beds now. They're like Jenny and a giant fetus, and you just lay in it all night.
Yeah.
And you wake up feeling better.
Oh, for an adult person?
Yes, yeah. Adult fetus beds.
Oh, that I haven't heard of. But as for the maternal environment, it's obvious that there's a lot more asthma in the inner city for children. So
you're in fluid.
Woman is breathing
you're floating
fluid.
Air. Fluid.
Yeah, or you
For myself, when I was in my mother's belly, she was going through facing that her father was dying. So I think she was
sad. So
that
affected you.
But I ended up feeling the sadness for her. Because it just made my brain stay stuck at sad. Is that part of your theme?
You have made part of the theme.
What we're trying to is focus in on a specific moment when
and it changed your life.
Yeah, like something happened and you changed your perspective.
And the lesson that you learned.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to think about it. Cause
no,
yes, Rebecca, what did you learn? What did you learn from the experience?
Wait, from taking Zoloft or from reading about fetal environment?
It doesn't matter.
Neither.
Just the fact that you experienced.
Neither or either.
Well, I don't know. Let's go back to something else. When I was 10 years old, I made.
Yeah.
I was born 1955. I'm a baby boomer. Around 1965, I made myself a button that said, "I am an individualist." So I came to a realization that I have to go it alone.
Okay.
I was an individualist.
And can I ask how old you are now?
56.
56, all right. And have you heard this?
I have a few, a friend or two now, but I never was popular. I was never totally without friends, but I kind of keep to myself. And well, I had some friends in school, and I do now, but I don't mind being alone a lot of the time.
Well, you're an individualist.
Yeah, I'm an artist.
I understand.
You know, I'm just trying to deal with my own stuff.
I understand. And what made you call tonight? You just turned on the show.
Oh,
have you ever heard the show before?
On the cell phone, on the sensory hallucination. But
yes.
you're saying that you're bombarded with sensory messages.
Yes, and that's part why we have the hallucinations. It's our brain trying to interpolate.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
they're also saying that alien abductions are all vivid dreams. Did you read about that, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alien abductions
are all vivid. They're just vivid dreams. They're just vivid dreams.
Alternate what?
They're vivid dreams. There are no aliens. They're just vivid dreams.
Right, there's no aliens.
Vivid dreams.
What? However.
There's no Star Trek. There's no Klingons. No Romulans.
There's no Romulans.
But there is Romulan ale.
There is Romulan ale. You can drink that.
It's a lot of Romulan ale.
You know, there's definitely Romulan ale. But
I used to love that show. Sorry,
there's
guys.
The Nexus. You can go there and hang out with Michael McDowell.
We have all been there. Is he one of the hosts on the show?
Yes, Michael McDowell's right here.
Yeah, have you listened to the show before?
I don't know how many of there are on the phone line. Are you cutting in?
10.
Calling up right now, 212-209-2900.
Have you listened to the show before?
Hello?
Good morning. Oh, night shift occasionally.
Absolutely fabulous. Welcome to 2012 Night Show.
Yeah, you always talk over the music.
You like the music?
Oh, yes.
What's your name again?
Rebecca.
That's right, I wrote it down.
But I don't know all your names. I don't know.
No, you know what happened is I told Mike, you know, sometimes you need to take the music down. He said, I don't care. That's what
he
said.
Take you to town?
Yeah.
Turn the music down.
No, you should take me to town. And I said, I'm not going to town with you. I'm not going to town with him. Because I bet he tried to take me to town. We're not really friends. We're really enemies. And we do this as part of our therapy. It was an agreement.
Yeah. Therapist said we have to do this.
We have to do
the same radio show, but you're not friends.
Night shift is group therapy.
Oh, I hadn't heard of it. That angle on it.
See, it's a good thing, and you will be cured.
I'm part of the therapy group now.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Oh,
it's cathartic.
Think about yourself.
You can speak about yourself in a more anonymous way, but you're not limited. You can speak about yourself.
Speak about myself. Oh,
in a semi-anonymous way.
And Rebecca, think of this: night shift. It's a completely unique experience.
Definitely unique. Okay, it's a little hard to follow all these different conversations.
have a love of good.
Blind you are, now can't you see that I'm the only one? So what you stay and keep in mind that mine's the only haven. Don't drop my heart.
Trying to get rid of me, you know.
What's your name?
John.
Cheetah.
Went to a white bar. White bar, yeah. How did you know it was a white bar? Everybody there was white. So he called me a monkey, right? Out loud. What did they get rid of me? But guess what? I'm white.
Yeah.
So you know what the difference was?
No. What was that?
Class. Wow. It was a middle class white bar, pickup bar. I didn't fit in.
You a low-class monkey.
I was working class.
Why do you think that they identified you that way, sir?
Because the aesthetics are different. There's a different...
He's a primate.
Genetic aesthetics.
You mean the way that you were dressed?
Genetic or? Aesthetics.
Yeah, the genetics. You
genetic
know, because
aesthetics, Chris.
The money classes... They're able to select.
How long ago was this?
Oh, it was like a...
You don't deal in genetic aesthetics.
A red velvet...
Were they the hairy people? Were they the hairy people?
It was like a velvet rope.
No, they were blonde, blue eyes, and they were doing well.
I hear a theme going on here.
What do you think of the chances of walking into a white bar these days?
I wouldn't go in there. It was a class difference.
How did this thing become about race over there?
I don't know. Who went there?
Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
212-209-2900. And who are you? Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Would anyone be willing to declare how they are dismissive of superstition and then set up an on-air Ouija board to see if anyone can contact
Monroe. Conjure up Monroe.
I've always been afraid of Ouija boards because of Exorcist.
I'm the only one who hadn't said anything about that, but I toasted my friend Monroe.
Monroe?
Oh, yeah, we played
Monroe.
A clip last week.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here last week. We played a clip.
Go ahead, Byron. Lay it on him.
Monroe and I established such a wonderful, wonderful familial.
Familial?
Yes, familial. Opportunity to work with each other. He was a very learned person. He was a very learned person.
He went to the Bronx High School of Science. I didn't know that.
You said Bronx High School?
Yeah, the Bronx High School of Science.
That makes him learned. That's true.
He went to Bronx High School of Science?
He was a very supportive person because he supported WBAI.
He supported Night Shift.
And
Monroe was a fan among fans.
That's right. And none to be second to his commitment, to his loyalty, to his friendship. We miss you.
He was a black belt in Night Shift ideology.
That's right. I salute you, and I miss that voice.
You know, Byron, there's Stephen Hutchinson has a video up on his website. I think it's, if you type in his name, you'll get a website. And there's like a 5-minute clip of Monroe. And it's just so interesting to, like, we are so used to his voice that when you see video of him talking, you just like flipped out, because it's just like it's just a trip to see a face with the voice, you know. I mean, I only met Monroe once, so I don't have a vivid, you know, image of him in my mind. So
we gotta have some more Night Shift hangs like we used to.
Yeah,
Night Shift hangs.
But, you know, has Mike disappeared? Is that what's happening, Baron? You're holding the report. Is that what's happening?
It's okay.
Mike's not the best.
Of course it's Mike's fault. It always is Mike's fault.
I can always tell when Mike's gone because he's not talking.
Right, I know. He's just kind of vaporized.
Mike is having his breakfast right now.
Is that what he's doing?
Yes,
he's going through his mail. He's being
Hold on. He's vaporizing back. He's coming back.
What's because George said he sent him a letter, so Mike had to run and see what that is. But,
welcome back, Mike.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. I was surprised to learn that he even graduated magna cum laude from Queens College. I thought it was amazing.
I just wanted to say, this is Jesse from the Bronx, that the music that you played in the beginning was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
That first song, that
you know how we do,
Middle Eastern feel to it.
Yeah, you like that.
Awesome.
That was good.
And then that second song, that sort of French jazz type.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then the next song following, I think it was that Jill Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike's other name is DJ Funkmaster Mike.
Yeah.
Mike,
you know, that's his other name, so you better recognize.
If you are not a music producer, you just orchestrate.
Well, I do a music show, actually, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. till noon.
No.
As funky as you want to be.
Your own Barry Gordy. I mean, you should have...
Well, yeah.
I mean, his head's going to get big.
Diana Ross, too, yeah.
His head's getting big. I can feel it getting big.
I specialize in girl groups.
Because, you know,
Chris,
you know,
I don't have any room to move in here.
Can you let him talk, please?
Guys, come back down to earth.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
No, the music is phenomenal. I mean, you know... In this day and age, music is...
Yeah, let him talk because you give him compliments to Mike.
It was not... Chris Norris, get a grip.
Catch that? Yeah, keep
get a grip, Chris. Okay? It's good. It's
no,
so
I know.
Touching. It just blew me away. It really did. I listen to you guys quite often a bit, and I donated money, but that music just set me on edge.
Well, I thank you, sir. And I hope somewhere in there,
fan.
That's
we
a loyal
love
fan.
You.
Yes, thank you. And I did write a theme that's in there. It's rough now because I'm going to bring some real people in there to do some of the other stuff.
Quincy Jones is going to come on in.
Michael Jackson from the
Michael Jackson. But I'll let Byron hear it again because Byron is more involved in these things than anyone else.
He's Byron.
You have to understand that. And what's your name, sir?
Jesse.
And Jesse, how long have you been listening to the show?
I was listening to WBA back in the late 80s.
Mm.
My goodness.
Whoa.
My God.
This is my first time calling your show.
This is the first time you called the show?
And how long have you been listening to Night Shift?
Quite often when I remind myself to wake up or I set the alarm clock because you guys come on late.
Yeah,
but
do.
It's worth it.
We understand the intermittence.
It is worth it, and a lot of things that you guys say go hand in hand with the way things are going today.
Hey.
I mean, you know, it's fun, it's entertaining, it was a bit crazy, it's a little bit of everything, but, you know, it's perfect for these times.
Well, I haven't told you the best story of the night. I do have the best story of the night. I did say it for myself. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just read the title first. Stallion semen sold as energy drink.
That is the best story.
Wait a minute.
No. Let me tell you something. I'm gagging right here. All right. No, that's
all right, here it
disgusting.
Is. Horse.
Oh,
okay. Are you ready? Stay with me.
No.
Stay with me. Horse semen is considered a delicacy in the Australian. Stay with me.
There's a lot of
real
men. There.
Come on, you wouldn't make
it's
it at the tough
rare.
Club. Let
I'll
me finish.
Give you a good story
Let me finish my story.
Right now.
So horse semen is considered a delicacy in the Australian island of Tasmania, where glasses of the fluid will be served up during the Hokitika Wild Foods Festival in March. Horses are pure testosterone, you know. They have hardly any cholesterol, so the idea is you knock it back and feel like a stallion yourself.
That was the war horse.
Racehorse owner Lindsay Kierslack of Christchurch, a city on the east coast of South Island of New Zealand, that's the name of this city, Christchurch, told the news, "You'll have as much zizz as a stallion for a week afterwards." The drink, which costs about $7.60, will be offered in several flavors, including cherry and licorice. The beverage will also be sold au naturel for those who prefer their horse semen without artificial flavoring. Each drink will be sold with a chaser that is similar to Red Bull, aptly named Power Horse. We're pretty confident tests will explain how and why it makes you feel so good, but that's still being worked on. Says festival organizer Mike Keenan, and said regarding why the drink is touted as invigorating, Keenan said that he will not be trying the unique beverage himself. Past delicacies at the festival include wild pig gut kebabs with fresh eel slime sauce, wasp larva ice cream, bull penis, and a pig snout dish.
I think the pig's not.
No, I'm not down.
Excuse me. Excuse
That's
me.
The stuff they serve at the Tough Club on
14th at
Street.
The Temple of Doom.
Bull testicle with
the Indian Temple of Doom Club.
Killer bee honey.
Here.
What?
Hold on here.
Yes.
Any of this stuff, can I put any of this stuff on my french fries? That's all
you could, you could dip your fries in the stallion semen if you wanted and just get gradually work up to being a stallion.
I just feel sorry for the stallions.
They call that stallion fries.
Because the poor stallions, I mean, I don't know how they get in the semen.
Listen, but there are workers. There are workers.
They're suffering.
There are people who that's their job.
That's their job?
Yes.
That's
their job. Yes.
That's the job I want.
No, you don't.
I'm quitting my job today.
You do not want to.
And I'm going to go get me some horse semen and work on
there it is.
Getting a horse semen bottles.
A horse semen farm. You know, it's a horse, there's so many things about that that are wrong.
You know, that's like the nastiest
yes, it is. Well,
story you've read.
You are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. WBA.
So I guess you guys never eat
for your educational.
I had the iguana once.
Semen. You know, have some of this.
Improvement.
Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Oh, hang on, let me turn it
down. Please, could you turn it down, please? Yes.
Good morning. Who are you? Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Yes.
Hello. Hi, Mr. Self. Mike. This is Sue Radakovsky, Spider Blue Rider.
Okay.
How you doing?
Spider Blue Rider.
Yeah. Are you the interview that Joker, Tammy Wynette thing? Is that you?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tell me why that.
Joker.
No, some guy. It sounded like you, Mike. He interviewed this guy, this Joker who wrote this book about Tammy Wynette.
Not me, babe.
Oh, okay. Because it's funny. He's saying how like George and Tammy, you know, were the only couple that had this charisma and so hot and heavy. You know? I'm saying, what about Kris Kristofferson and Rita Coolidge? What about Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn?
And
what about John Lennon and Yoko Ono?
This is country stuff. What's your name, sir?
What's your name?
What is
your name?
What about Johnny Cash and
June James? Carter Cash? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, and what's your name, sir?
Sarita.
Sir.
Ma'am.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Ma'am, what is your name? Hello?
No, you're not talking to me.
Yes, I am talking to you.
Oh, what's my name?
Yes.
Sue Radakovsky.
Oh, Sue Radakovsky. Okay, all right. Sue, I had a question for you. You just tuned in. You didn't hear the earlier part of the show, did you?
No, I just woke up. I've got this. I told you.
I just got a call.
I've got this cosmic alarm clock.
Oh. I wake up. Cosmic alarm clock.
Like right before Bob Fast is going to be on, I'll wake up.
Mm. Uh huh. So we contacted you and we got you to wake up and call us.
You guys woke me up. You did.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, well, let me let somebody else have this way. Oh, okay, so it was the guy who sounds like you, Mike Sargent, and let's interview Tammy Wynette.
It's a little chilling. The guy who sounds like
you. The guy who sounds like you, because there's a guy who looks like you, too. Who looks like you is around the station?
Yeah, the guy that looks like you.
Mike, that must be your twin.
I guess that's Mike Sargent.
I haven't met the ops director.
No, he's not the ops director anymore. He was the ops director. He looks like you, though, to me.
Oh, it's Mike's clone. Okay, I gotcha.
No. Yeah. Anyway, let me let you guys go. Anyway, always good to hear you guys.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Send money to BAI.
Yeah.
Really good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Exactly. She's like, you have clones. Yeah. There are people that look like you and sound like you.
Ma'am.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Ma'am. I mean, yeah,
hello, you're in the air. It's like, hello, yes, there are people, I've seen them at the station, they look like you, they sound like you, they interview people like you. Okay, talk to you later. Oh, Harry Allen, yeah, that's what I thought. You think Harry Allen looks like me?
Well, I don't know, I've never seen him, but he sounds just like you. You and him have twin voices.
We have twin voices.
Yeah, I know.
Separated at birth.
We need to do a show together then.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
And what's your name?
Who
is this?
This is Shirley, Mike.
Hello, Shirley. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Did you just call before?
Yes.
Okay. I just
someone
wanted
sounds
to let
like
you.
Know you.
That.
Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hello, you're in the air.
Hey. You all sound like you. Yup.
Mm-hmm. Hello, they all sound like me.
Hello,
you're there.
They're all going to sound like you.
Hello, you're in the air?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that the person I think that they were referring to that sounds like you is Harry Allen.
Okay.
I remember he did
well, we got a true confirmation of Harry Allen. Thank you.
212-209.
The person that sounds like you is Harry Allen. Thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Man.
Hello, you're on the air. This is the last 5 minutes. We're going to compress time.
Hello. To get him in.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Looks like you.
Good morning.
Burn.
212-209-2900. You want to talk to us? Come on. Give us a call. We're here. We're ready for you. 212-209-2900. I'm enjoying it. Great show tonight, guys. Chris?
Yeah, it went really
fast. Yeah. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
It's good. It's all good.
Yeah. Hello?
Yep.
Yes,
hello?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey.
Yes, hello.
I have a story.
Yes. You.
All right. I was,
You drinking?
You got to tell the story quickly, sir.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
You drinking?
Oh, yeah, I have a story.
You have Stolen. Oh, okay. Okay.
Like a character out of a movie.
Yeah,
I got
Stolen.
A story for you. The camera slowly moves towards him. You want to hear a story?
Yeah.
I'll tell guy. You a story you'll never forget.
Black and right. white.
Tell us the story we'll never forget. All right. All right. When I was young, I was growing up, right?
Flashback. Mm.
And there was this fresh Puerto Rican girl right off the plane.
Fresh Puerto Rican girls.
Mike, put your finger on me. Right?
Get them while they're hot.
Everybody wanted it, you know? Everybody.
It.
So she gave me some.
Mm.
And I remember we was in the elevator, and my mother said something in menudo, in Spanish.
And God!
In menudo.
All I understood was the nasty look on her face and Moreno. And I never messed with Puerto Rican after that.
This was life-changing for you, sir.
Yeah.
Had you seen West Side Story yet?
Huh?
Natalie Wood?
All right. Byron, you know, we're on Facebook. NITESHIFT.
And don't leave any night shift messages on that, because that person left that message, Mike. If you read that, right?
No, I didn't read any message yet. But
yeah, on the night shift, somebody left a message that the music scares them.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. You know, people can leave a message on anything you want. 212? I'm sorry.
209-2900.
No, not giving it to them. I'm giving it at the website. Facebook. You can go to NITESHIFT, Night Shift. You can like us.
Yep,
and
like
on
us.
The web, we have our own website, lifeislikesciencefiction.com.
Yep.
That's lifeislikesciencefiction.com. We got shows going back for over 3 years.
5 years.
For over 5 years.
Yep.
You can see it, hear it. We've got a gallery. You can see Byron, Keith up in there. And you can email us if you want to know about playlists or something like that.
Whatever you want.
Email us. But, you know, there are all kinds of updates on the night shift on the book, the Facebook,
issues.
And the website. You know, you can find out all about stories that we don't get to cover here, music, events,
everybody's
night shift
happy.
Stuff, Byron Saunders info. Yeah. Okay. 212. 212. Anyway, the email for night shift is lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com.
Still there, Byron, or did you leave?
I am still with you.
Byron is gone. He's solid gone.
I am right here.
Yeah.
Byron.
Yes. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. It's nice to be back. You had me out there on assignment for a while.
This is our theme 2 years ago. Byron, you remember this?
That's when I do my research, of course. So when I come back, I'm always ready for you guys.
There you go.
Nonsensical things. Spoken more or less than you've listened to Night Shift.